Summer's good, and I've enjoyed preaching about these women in the Bible. Next week, I'm going to preach more of a different sermon. I'm going to take a break for 1 week, and then we'll come back in July and finish up this series. Next week, I want to center our thoughts on Jesus when he took a coin, and he said, "Give to Caesar what Caesar's, give to God's what's God's," and what's was that all about? Someone asked me, when are you going to preach on men of the Bible? I said, almost every week I preach on men in the Bible. So men don't get a special session, just ladies. If you have your Bible, you may want to follow along, or maybe you just want to listen. Today I want to do something I don't think I've ever done, and that's read an entire chapter of the Old Testament. So my sermon remarks had to be very short because it's a long chapter, but you need to hear it. A wonderful story. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now Samuel died, and all of Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon, who had property there in Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats, 3,000 sheep, and it was shearing time in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was intelligent and beautiful. Her husband, not so. He was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. Now David was in the wilderness, and he heard that Nabal was shearing the sheep. 10 young men, and he said to them, "You go up to Nabal in Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health to you and your household, good health to all that belongs to you.' Now I hear that it's sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were down with us, we did not mistreat them. The whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs ever came up missing. Ask your servants. They'll tell you. Therefore, be favorable to my men, since we come at a festive time. Give your servants and your son David whatever you might find for them." When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal that message in David's name, and then they waited. Nabal and David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread, my water, and the meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men who come from who knows where?" David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word to David. And David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." And they did. And David put on his sword as well. 400 men go up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants went to Abigail, Nabal's wife. "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at him. These men have been very good to us. They didn't mistreat us. The whole time we were out in the fields, they did nothing. Nothing was ever missing. Night and day, they formed a wall around us. The whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and all of our whole household. He is a wicked man, and no one can talk to him." Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 bushels of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, and 200 cakes of pressed figs. She loaded them all on the donkeys. She told her servants, "You go on ahead. I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, here was David and his men descending before her. Someone said it's the Wild West meets the Near East. Here it happens. David had just said to his people, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that none of it was missing, and now he pays me back evil for good. May God deal with me, be it ever so severe, if by morning I leave alive one male who belonged to this Nabal guy. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey, bowed down before him with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord. Let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man, Nabal. He's just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see your men when you sent them. And now, oh my Lord, as surely as the Lord, your God, lives, and as you live, since the Lord, the God, has kept you from bloodshed, from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming you, oh my Lord, be just like Nabal. And let this gift that your servant has brought to you, my master, let it be given to the men that follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting destiny for you, my master, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you, Saul, to take your life, the life of you, my master, will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies, they'll be hurled away like a pocket of a sling, David's sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my master will not have his conscience the staggering burden of the needless bloodshed of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my master success, remember me, your servant." David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, you have kept me from harming you. If you had not come to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." So David accepted from Abigail's hand what she brought to him. "Go in peace. I have heard your words, and I have granted your request." When Abigail went home, went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet. He thought he was a king. He wasn't. He was in high spirits and just a little bit drunk. So she told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then in the morning, when he had sobered up, his wife told him all these things, all the things she had done, and boom, he had a heart attack. He became like stone, stroked out. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to God, who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his old head." And then he sent word to Abigail saying, "Won't you be my wife?" His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to take you home to be his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground. "I am your servant, and I'm ready to serve you. I will even wash the feet of my Lord's servants." Abigail quickly got on the donkey, tended by her five female servants. She went with David's messengers, and she became his wife. And they lived happily ever after. What a story! What an amazing story! I know you've read it many times and heard it. I hadn't read the full story of Abigail in a long time. There are so many lessons, so many sermons, and all week I've struggled with how to make all those sermons and what do I say with you with the time left. And here it is: boldly make peace in humility. That's the lesson of Abigail, the primary lesson of this whole text. She boldly made peace in humility. And I think the lesson for us today, if we could long to be like Abigail and seek to boldly make peace in humility. She followed her heart. From the very first, she followed her heart. When her messenger came and told her what Nabal had done, she followed her heart. She followed the direction of God. She ignored the prejudices. They were all around her. She is a woman. A woman so many years ago. A woman that, this is huge, that she would do all that she did. A woman. She didn't ask Nabal, would it be all right? No, she did it behind his back. I read a commentary this week that said that really she broke God's command. She should have been obedient. Gag. That's what they said. They really said that, written by a new commentator even today. No, she didn't tell him. Of course she didn't tell him. She knew what he would do. She snuck behind his back. She was my type of woman. I mean, she went and followed God and did what God had led her to do. Against all prejudices, she acted boldly. Now, she could have said, oh, sisters, let us meet and pray. Let's call out the prayer chain. Let's call down to the church and make sure it's on the prayer list. Let's make sure and just sit here and pray. Pray that David will change his mind. Pray that Nabal will change. Let's pray. Let's cover it in prayer. I'm all for prayer. Let's meet and let's pray. Or she could have said, I don't think he's going to do it. Let's just deny. Let's just sit and deny. If we think it, it will happen. We're just going to pray and we're going to deny and put our head in the sand. David won't really come. He was just mad and angry. He'll work through it. He was a man after God's heart. You could have just sat there worried the whole time. What if it happens? What if he comes? Who will die? What will happen to me? What will happen to our servants? These guys have been for us and now they're going to be against. What will we do? What will we do? But instead, she was a peacemaker. She acted boldly. She didn't. She wasn't a peacekeeper. She wasn't just a peace lover or a peace proclaimer. In my years of being a pastor, I have loved and longed for peace in the church, and I liked being a peace proclaimer and preaching on peace and longing for peace. I'm a lover of peace, and I want to be a keeper of peace, but being a maker of peace is much harder. It's much more risky to be a peacemaker. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Listen, true, sincere, committed followers of Jesus Christ are those who actively make peace. Hear that again. Those committed, sincere followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are those who boldly, actively, not just seek after, but make peace. Peace. Can you picture what our homes and families would be like if we sought to make peace in our workplace, in our church, in our world? Now let me tell you, if you're a peacemaker, some are going to question you. Most will question you. Some will fight against you. Others will laugh at you. And many will oppose you because our world doesn't really still know what to do with peacemakers. Those who seek consensus, those who seek to make unity, those who are mediators, we say they're weak. Now, weak, they're strong. But in our world, we don't like consensus. We want this or we want this. But Abigail said, no, we've got to have this. Our world is so fractured. And so many churches are so fractured. Not just fractured, fighting. I just came back, Walker, John, and I from a meeting of Baptists. You didn't have to listen far to the one next to you, the one across from you, the one in the hotel lobby. as they told about their churches in conflict, in disarray. Some were fighting about race in the church, and others are fighting about gender roles in the church, and most are fighting about politics in the church. We need an Abigail, not one who just thought of peace and enjoyed peace, but boldly, four times, hurriedly, she went and did something to make peace. But notice how she did it. Boldly seeking peace in humility. She could have met David with all of his 400 men, walked right up to him, hit him in the head, and said, "David, you're just a fool like Nabal. What are you thinking? God's anointing is on you. You're a man after God's heart. We've heard how you've protected and built this fence around us. We know God's hand is upon you. You have a covenant relationship with God." Boom! What are you doing coming out here with your swords all strapped on? You didn't get your way. You didn't like it when the word came back that Nabal the fool was not going to give you some of our sheep meat, and you didn't like it, and now you're going to cause this mighty war. Boom! But instead, she falls on her knees, her face in the ground. 11 times in chapter 25, she says, "David, you are my Lord, my master." 6 times in the passage I read, 6 times she says, "I am your servant." There is a spirit of humility, and I'm convinced humility is what's needed to lead to peace. Jesus said, "Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves before God will be exalted." Those who humble themselves will be exalted before God. The speaker at this Baptist meetings does podcasts and speaks on NPR. Of all she said, I wrote this down: humility is not making oneself small, but making others big. Humility is not making yourself small, but making others big. How different our homes, our work, our church, and our world would be if the humility of God through Jesus Christ could overwhelm us. If Christians, followers of Jesus Christ who've made a faith commitment to Christ, if Christians could look and be a picture of humility. Jesus himself said, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve others." Abigail, a daughter of God, a woman of wonder, who boldly made peace in humility. She made peace between these two beasts. David was a beast looking for war. Her husband Nabal was a fool of a beast. And she's in the midst, making, you know, beasts abound in our world today. Beasts abound in some churches today. Beasts abound in our homes and in our workplace. Beasts abound, and at times we make the beast the hero. We make the beast the leader. We make the beast the role model. God help us when the beast is the role model and Abigail is not. You say, "Well, how do we do that? How do we become agents, makers of peace?" Maybe we should follow the Apostle Paul's words, Philippians chapter 2. In your relationship with others, have the mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature was God, but did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and he, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross, and God exalted him to the righteous place and gave him the name that's above every name, that is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and acknowledge that he is Lord. And you say, well, that's great, but I'm not Jesus. How do I do it? How do I boldly make peace? How do I live in humility? Paul said in Colossians 1, Christ in you, the only hope of glory. I can't be a peacemaker. I don't have it within myself. As much as I love peace, it's risky, it's frightening, it causes angst. I can't live a life of humility. It's too much about me. But in Christ, all things are possible. Oh God, boldly make us peacemakers like Abigail in humility, I pray. And shall we all pray. God, again, we're grateful to your word that shows us great women, daughters of God, from Mary, who asked for a miracle of water to wine, to Rahab, who God used in her imperfection to bring safety and security, to the Canaanite woman who didn't even have a name, who was a picture of such great faith, and now to Abigail, a beauty, surrounded between beasts. Abigail looks a lot like Jesus. May we resolve ourselves not to look like the beast of the world, but the beauty of Christ and of his daughter, Abigail. Change us, God. Mold us and make us is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.